Good morning. I stand up here this morning with a lot of emotion. This is my first time back since early March. I haven't stepped foot through those doors other than to come in and see the balcony one time. But I stand up here praising God for what he's done this morning. It's been a tough week for me. And I know it's been a tough week for a lot of us in here. But this morning, God has laid a message on my heart that is more applicable to me than I'm sure it is to anybody in this house this morning. And that's a message of freedom. We are so often weighed down by the weight of the world. You look back since early March and you see so many things that have transpired across this nation. You see the coronavirus that has disrupted a nation. It's disrupted an economy. It's disrupted worship. It's disrupted the house of God. It's disrupted God's plan. But I say that last part. It's disrupted God's plan. Do you all know why it's disrupted God's plan? It's because we as his children have allowed the weights of the world to come in and cause that havoc, to cause that disruption. Now, while I may not have been here the last 4 months since early March, that doesn't mean that I've not been deep diving into God's word. That doesn't mean that I've not been trying to grow in my relationship with God. That doesn't mean that I've stopped encouraging my family here. That doesn't mean that I've stopped the work for God. I can do those things at home just as much as I can do them in this physical building, as well as all of you. So as I stand here this morning, one thing that I'm going to ask each of you to do is to pull off the weights of the world and let God redeem you. Let God give you that freedom that only he can provide. We're going to be in the book of Colossians this morning. That's where I've been in for, I have no idea how long now. I've stopped counting the days. I've went kind of back and forth between Colossians and Galatians because it's so, those two books of God's word are so applicable to what I'm experiencing in my season of life right now. And so, if you'd like to open up your Bibles, I'm going to be in Colossians chapter 2. And I'm just going to begin reading in verse number 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. As we just read there in Colossians chapter 2, we are redeemed. We are forgiven. So why, as I was standing there listening to the song service this morning, I felt very little freedom in this building. And we have there's a lot of freedom as we just read in God's word. So this morning, I'm going to be proclaiming that we seek that freedom that God has offered us. The gift of salvation is possible to all people. It's possible to all people who are willing to open up their eyes and willing to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and confess their sins and the fact that they are a sinner. And to take those sins and truly repent from those sins and turn away from those sins. God's salvation is made possible through Jesus Christ. And there is freedom in that. As you read the New Testament, as you read the letters of Paul, you read Colossians, you read Corinthians, you read Galatians, you will see many times in those letters false teachings and false prophets. People want to make laws, and they want to limit salvation. They want to limit God. And so I'm standing up here this morning proclaiming, let's not limit God. Let's do what he desired to do through his word. Let's go out and proclaim the message of God in such a way to realize and to help people know that there is no sin too big for God to overcome, and there's no sin in your life that is too big to overcome this morning. Let's stop limiting God and his abilities. Let's take the things that we have done in our lives, where we have messed up in our lives, and take those things and turn from those ways and let God redeem us and let God forgive us of those things and let God use them for his glory. Let's not get caught up in the weight of the world, because when the weight of the world, when the weight of those sins is on your shoulders, it becomes difficult to keep moving forward. We have to keep moving forward. We have some challenges here at Grace, but that doesn't mean it's the end. That means we go forward. That means we take what we've done the last 10 years and we continue proclaiming God's word. We continue proclaiming the good news. We continue to proclaim the fact that Jesus forgave you of your sins. And there is a hope. There is a hope that will help you get through this world. But not only will it help you get through this world, it will seal your place in God's glory. So this morning, When we accept Christ as our Savior and Lord, we have a freedom that was made possible by Jesus Christ in his death and his resurrection. And that, as I said just a few minutes ago, that is possible for all people. Jews and Gentiles. But this freedom can only be experienced when you die to yourself. When you die to yourself and allow God to come in and take control. You got to be willing to allow God to do things. You got to be willing to allow God to use you. You can't look at the fact that you are a person. You have to look and see yourself as a child of God. When you look and you see yourself as a child of God and you're pursuing God and you're allowing God to come in and do what he desires to do in your life, and when you allow God to come in and use you as the vessel in which he desires to use you, he can do incredible things through you. The past does not matter. The past was erased by Jesus Christ. So how can we experience this freedom in Christ? Number one. We must be rooted in Christ. That's a basic principle. We have to be rooted. We have to be grounded in Christ. And you say, how can we be rooted in Christ? Well, that's a variety of different things. But most importantly, it's having a daily walk with God. It's actually picking up God's word and reading it. It's actually picking up your friends in prayer. It's a prayer life. You got to make known to God. You have to communicate to God what it is that you're struggling with in your life, what it is that you desire in your life, and what it is that he desires to do in your life. So you have to be rooted, but you have to take the step to actually be rooted. That takes time and it takes effort for each of us in this room. When I went to the men's conference back in January, God really opened my eyes. And the way that he opened my eyes in January was, he opened them and he showed me that I wasn't taking that step to be rooted in him. I wasn't taking up God's word and reading it like I should. I didn't have the prayer life that I should have had. And so every morning since I returned from that men's conference in January, I have taken up God's word and I have meditated on it every morning. And I let my family know when I got back from that men's conference that I had failed them as a father and that I had failed them as a husband because I was not leading with God at the center. I was trying to lead in my own way. And when we try to lead in our own way, we fail. And in my own life, as I've taken those steps to pick up God's word every day, and as I've taken those steps to pray in the morning and to pray throughout the day and to actually sit down with my family at night before we go to bed and do a devotion together and pray together, my relationship with God has been changed. And my service has been changed as a result. You see, we have to be rooted in God's word. We have to be pursuing him every day. We cannot experience the freedom of Christ and the freedom of salvation if we're not allowing him to control our lives. If we're not allowing him to be the leader that he desires to be. How can you lead? Or how can you let Jesus lead if you're not allowing Jesus, if you're not talking to him? If you're not picking up his word and reading those stories in God's word where it talks about characters such as Paul and such as Moses and Abraham that made sacrifices with God. So we have to be rooted in Christ to experience that freedom. With Christ are strong. The storms of life aren't as difficult. The storms of life are much calmer. I've seen that in my life in many ways the last 6 months. The storms are always calmer with Jesus by your side. When you're living like Jesus and leading like Jesus, there's a freedom that I just can't express up here. I can talk about freedom for the next 45 minutes. But until you experience it, until you see it for yourselves, you're not going to know what that freedom in salvation and what that freedom in Christ is like. So we have to be rooted in Christ. And you see, when we're rooted in Christ, I made the point that you can weather the storms of life. And it's much easier to get through those storms. I want to give an analogy because I guess it was a couple of years ago, my wife and I, we went down to a plantation down in Charleston. And Charleston's known for those humongous oak trees with the Spanish moss coming off. They're beautiful. And as we entered this plantation, there were probably 20 of those humongous trees that were hundreds of years old on each side of the road. It was a beautiful sight. And as we were going through the tour that day, they told us in the tour that those trees were hundreds of years old and their roots were as big as the actual tree was. But they gave us an analogy that it's truly how God's children should work. Those trees, when there's a season of drought, they come together. The roots come together and they work together and they send the nutrients to those trees that are struggling. Even if it's a different tree 15 trees down the line, it sends nutrients to those trees. I look back at that, and those trees have experienced tons of huge hurricanes, winds of 160, 170, 180 miles an hour, and they're still standing to this day. They're still standing to this day because they're working together. It should be us. That should be the church. That should be God's children. We should be allowing the roots of Christ to give us the nutrients that we need to go on, to pursue, to lead, to continue to proclaim the message of God. We have to be rooted in Christ in order to experience that freedom. Not only must we be rooted in Christ, number two, Christ must be our actual foundation. If you build a house, if you don't have a solid foundation, that house isn't going to stand. That house is going to crumble. It's going to crack, and it's going to fall. The same thing applies to our lives. Christ must be our foundation. In order to experience that freedom in Christ, we have to have that solid foundation. And that means instead of trying to look at the problems that we're experiencing in life every day and trying to handle those things on our own, we have to be willing to step back and allow God to come in and change things. We have to be willing to allow God to be the person that is in control. I've heard it said numerous times over the last 4 months since coronavirus was such a thing. I've heard people say that God has lost control. You are fooled if you think God has lost control. God knew that this was going to happen. And God is in the midst, and He does have control, even in the midst of the storms that we're experiencing today. And He is in control of those things that you are going through in your life today. While you may be experiencing an issue in your marriage, whether you've lost your job because of coronavirus, whether you're struggling financially, whatever the problem might be, God is still in control. And God can still use those things for His glory. It's not the end of the world if you've lost your job. It's not the end of the world if you're struggling in your marriage. It's not the end of the world if things are going wrong in your life. What matters is that you take those problems that are currently taking place in your life and you find ways to allow God to come in and change those things. And as a result, when God changes those things, you can use that as part of your testimony to help others going through those same situations. So your foundation has to be strong. The problems of life, if we have a strong foundation in Christ, they're not going to get us down. Our foundation in Christ isn't going to crumble. It's not going to stumble. It's not going to fall. It's going to be there eternally. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to allow Christ to be your foundation. this morning, are you allowing Christ to be your foundation? Or are you allowing the world to define your foundation? What I'm going through in my life right now, thank God Christ is my foundation. Thank God that He is in control and that I know that He knows the end result. And I know that He knows what's going to happen. Thank God He knows. And thank God I don't. Because if I knew what was going to happen, I'd be trying to make things happen to that effect. And that's not what God calls me to do. God calls me to sit back, and He calls me to sit back and let Him work. And this morning, that's what I'm asking Him to do. Let Him work. We as His children, we have to be willing to let Him work. We have to stop limiting Him. We have to stop. I'm getting hot, so I apologize. I'm fired up because I see God working. And I feel God working in my life. And that's what I want to feel. I want to feel God working. And I want God to work in your life. But you have to be willing to step back and stop trying to handle the problems that you're facing in your life. Because if you try to handle those things in your life, you're going to fail. And it's not going to end in a good way. But if you turn it over to Christ, and you allow yourself to be rooted in Christ, and you allow your foundation to be Christ, you're going to be amazed at what God can do through that situation that you're going through. So you may ask, what are the steps to actually pursue this freedom in Christ? I'm going to give you three things. In order to steps to pursue this freedom in Christ, number one, we have to confess our sins. If we have sin in our life, that has an effect on God's ability to work through our life. Because God can't stand to look at sin. God looks at sin and he can't deal with it. That's why He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to die for our sins. And so, in order to experience the completeness of freedom in Christ, you have to be willing to confess your sins. Number two, you have to be willing to submit to Christ and His will. For me, that was the hardest thing I did in my life. Submitting to Christ and His will. Because I looked at how I saw myself. When God first called me into the ministry 15 years ago, my initial response to God was, how can you use me? I can't get up and talk. I can't get up and teach. I can't do these things that you desire for me to do. So my initial response to God was, I can't do this. You know, God doesn't give up on us. God keeps pursuing. And so He kept pursuing me. And He kept pursuing my life. And eventually, I gave in and I gave in to His will. I submitted to Him. I submitted to Him and His will. And you know, He's done some amazing things in my life. He's changed me. And He can change you this morning. I want everyone in this room and everyone listening online, I want you to be able to experience that freedom in Christ. But you have to be willing to confess that sin. You have to be willing to submit to Christ and His will. And that requires you to take the mentality of the world and remove it from your mind. Because serving God is removing the mentality of the world. When we are serving God, we have a supernatural mind. Because God works in a supernatural way. He was resurrected from the dead. You don't see that every day. And so in order to allow God to use you, you have to be willing to remove that worldly mindset. We have to stop looking at how humans would handle it. And we have to look, and we have to look in His Word and see how God would handle it. So you have to be willing to submit to His will. You also have to be willing to commit to Christ and commit to allow Christ to take control of our lives. You have to confess, you have to submit, and you have to commit. Commit. We don't like that word, do we? Commitment's a big thing. Commitment is one of the most important things you'll ever do in your life. Whether or not you commit to your husband or wife in marriage, whether or not you make a commitment to your church, whether or not you make a commitment to Christ, it's a big deal. But we live in a world that takes the word commitment and they don't think anything about it. They look at the word commitment and they don't look for its full meaning. Commitment means I'm going to do this. It means I'm going to take that step. No matter how hard the road gets, no matter what happens, commitment says the task will be finished. Jesus Christ committed to God's plan. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that plan until the end. He was committed to do what His Father desired for Him to do. In the Garden of Gethsemane, you heard Jesus pray in that prayer that He made. If there's some other way to do Your will, God, please allow it. God's will is not easy. Commitment's not easy. But we as God's children, we need to start committing. And we need to start submitting to God's will. We need to try to stop doing the... We need to stop doing... We need to stop handling life in our own way. Everybody in this room can experience that salvation that we've been talking about. In Galatians, in Colossians, in Corinthians, you saw Paul, you saw time after time where false prophets came in and false teachers came in, and they wanted to add extra things to the salvation experience. In Colossians, there was somewhat of a hearsay for a secret society. Or secret knowledge that they were trying to, the Colossians were trying to add things, that add requirements for salvation. You saw the same thing in Galatians. You had what's called the Judaizers, who were indicating that in order for a Gentile to be saved, they had to follow the Jewish law. They had to go through the process of circumcision. That's not in God's word. And when Paul was visiting these places and God was revealing these things to him, Paul was so mad. He was so frustrated that people were adding to God's word. People were adding things to the salvation experience that God said wasn't necessary. God said that the death of Jesus Christ and His on that cross and the resurrection from the grave satisfied salvation. But you have to be willing to confess, and you have to be willing to repent, and you have to be willing to turn away from those things. You have to proclaim Him as Lord. But I see a world today where we're trying to add things to the salvation experience. We're trying to add requirements. We got to get away from that. We got to stick to God's word. We got to stop allowing man to be in control. And we've got to be willing to allow God to be in control in order to experience that freedom that I'm talking about this morning. So I'm going to get back to my outline. How can we experience this freedom in Christ? Number one, we must be rooted in Christ. Number two, Christ must be our foundation. Number three, we have a fullness in Christ. And we must pursue this fullness each day. We have a fullness in Christ. And we must experience this fullness each day. I'm going to ask Timmy to put up first. I'm going to ask Timothy to put up Colossians 1, verses 15 to 23. Or Casey, I'm sorry. I'm going to read some scripture here in Colossians 1 that kind of ties into my sermon in Colossians chapter 2. It says in verse 15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. I want to speak on just a few points here in regards to what we just read here in verses 15 through 23. It talks about God's supremacy. It talks about Christ's supremacy. So when we have Christ, we have everything we need for salvation. We have everything we need to properly live. In these verses, there's four things where Jesus provides supremacy that Paul just spoke of. Number one, Jesus is the originator of everything. Everything exists because of Jesus and what he did. If God created everything, how can there be any problem too big for him? How can there be any situation too big for God if he created it all? This coronavirus, this isn't too big of a problem for God. Cancer is not too big of a problem for God. These things happen because of sin. And as a result, we have to turn to God in these situations. I've dealt with cancer. I've had people in my family deal with cancer. I've known people to deal with this COVID-19 virus. But one thing I noticed in my walk with those individuals is when they were going through cancer, or when I was going through cancer, or when they were going through COVID-19, one thing I noticed, they didn't have the attitude of, I'm going to die. They had an attitude of, I'm going to live. And I'm going to proclaim what God has done in my life. You have a choice. You have a choice. You can look at the situations that you're going through in your life this morning, and you can say, I'm going to die. Or you can say, Jesus is good. Which choice are you going to make this morning? Are you going to choose life? Are you going to choose freedom? or are you going to choose death and chains? Now, I don't know about you, but God's a chain breaker. And I don't want those chains to confine me to my place. And I'm not going to allow those chains to confine me. I am free. And you, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are free this morning. So live like you are free instead of living like you are in chains. So in these verses of 15 through 23, number one, Jesus is the originator of everything. Number two, Jesus is a sustainer in addition to the creator. Jesus sustains in addition to creating. He holds the heavens together. And he holds us together today. Did you hear that? He holds us together today. In the light of the storms that we're experiencing in our lives today, he's holding us together. All you've got to do is reach out and to hold his hand. Are you reaching out and holding his hand this morning? Are you allowing Jesus to provide that sustainment? I look back at my life the last 4 months. It would have been an easy time for me to sit back at home and get depressed and stop growing in my spiritual relationship because I haven't been able to come. I have a compromised immune system, and we've been taking very specific steps trying to protect my health. And I took some extra steps. And I didn't shake a lot of hands. I didn't hug anybody this morning. I didn't do that because you stink. I did that. Because I'm still trying to be careful. And so I hope you can respect that. Other than Bill. I'll speak for Bill. But, Jesus sustains. Jesus sustains. Number three, Jesus is the leader of all. He is the supreme leader of the church. I've heard it said at many churches in my lifetime. So-and-so rules this church. What a sad day. What a sad day when you allow a man to take over church. Jesus is ruler of the church. Are we allowing Jesus not only to be the ruler of the church, but are you allowing him to be the ruler of your life? Don't give in and let yourself be the ruler of your life. Freedom can't be experienced with that self. Freedom can only be experienced when you allow Christ to be the leader of your life. And you submit, you commit to his will and not your own. Finally, Jesus is the peacemaker between heaven and earth. He's our intercessory. He's standing there at the right hand of God. When we speak to him, when we communicate to him, when we praise him, when we share our concerns with him, he wants to see peace. And he intercedes and he shares those things with God the Father. He's the peacemaker. Are we willing to allow Jesus to be the peacemaker today? As we deal with problems in our lives today, are we going to try to be the peacemaker? Are we going to let God do what he desires to do? We have to get rid of the man mentality. We have to allow Jesus to be supreme and show his supremacy. The fourth point of how we can experience freedom in Christ . This should get you excited. Gets me excited just looking at it. We must realize that this freedom in Christ is a finished work. Did you hear that? It's a finished work. Not almost finished. It's a finished work made possible by Christ, who made us alive when we were dead. Can you throw up Galatians 2, verse 20, please? Listen to these words carefully. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When Jesus died on that cross, he didn't just die himself. He died on that cross for all sins, past, present, and future. Not only did he die for the sins, though, we were also nailed upon that cross. And so when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, one of the things that you do is you crucify yourself upon that cross. Because that's exactly what happens. The old self dies and you become anew. Now that's another thing. You hear some churches today speak and teach. They look at what sins people have committed in the past, and they try to limit their ability to what they can do in the future based upon that sin. But God's word tells me that those sins, when you accept Christ, when you confess them, and you repent from them, those sins don't matter. Those sins don't matter. They have no control of your future. They are in the past. And God looks at them as being in the past and gone. So let's stop looking in the past and let's go towards the future. Let's let God do what he desires to do through each of us. But we have to be willing to let go of the past. And submit. And commit to God for the future. I want to see freedom, folks. I've talked to so many people over the course of the last 4 months that had been so depressed. Don't let the things of this world drag you down. Because nothing is too big for God, and nothing is too big for God to overcome. He's an overcomer. This morning, let that be your focus. Let's stop limiting God and pursue Jesus and pursue that freedom that he provided to us by dying on that cross and being resurrected from the dead. All right, at this time, I'm going to ask Josh and Jordan.